there, everybody. It's Sean.
And Zane.
No Josh this week.
Boo.
This time.
Boo, Josh.
Not really this week, because we're not doing a weekly show anymore.
Not currently, no.
But we're doing a show weekly, W-E-A-K. No? All right.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, it's episode 75 of Cracking the Spine. I've already introduced myself.
And me, I'm Zane again.
Still Zane. And it's been a while. It's been since my birthday car episode.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are still out there listening and tuning in. And apologies for being so sporadic. But as we explained last time, things have changed.
Yeah.
Stuff's different.
Stuff's different. We've got a different schedule for Sean especially. And we're just trying to find a good time to record and get
slot
things
it
done.
In when we can. And yeah. This was the first time that worked for two out of the three of us. So Here we are. And
hooray.
No worries. This is not like other podcasts that Josh is on. He has not been fired.
It's the Josh jinx.
He's not jinxing us.
He's jinxing us.
If anything, he boosts our numbers and like
greatly
through the roof. So, God, I would never fire
him.
I'd
really
fire myself
fire
first. So, anyway.
That's why we keep him around.
That's kind of why we keep him around. That's, well, no, there's other reasons. He's cute.
Oh, boy.
He's got access to really good kisses.
That good kiss stockpile.
So, let's see. What do we do here? Oh, right. Zane, what are you reading?
I read Cursed Child.
Okay. Was that what you were talking about last time? I don't remember.
The last time we recorded, I said I was reading. I was like, I just started a book.
Okay.
But I knew that I was going to have to put it down to read Cursed Child.
Okay.
So, and it took me like 24 hours to read Cursed Child, I think.
Wow, because it was that good or because it was short or?
It was short. I mean, it feels kind of weighty when you pick it up, but it's in like, you know, it's a play script.
Oh, Cursed Child. Right. The Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
I only just caught up to that.
Oh, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
So, you know, because it's...
Guys, it's Harry Potter.
It's HP. Because it's a play script, it's like, you know, it doesn't take that long to read.
Right.
You're just reading dialogue and, like, a little bit of stage direction.
I remember you saying you had opinions on it.
No, I have opinions on it.
Well, let's go. You're in a podcast.
It's... My opinions is mostly... It definitely felt like... and a lot of people said this... that it kind of felt like fan fiction. And I think part of the reason that it felt that way is because the story is by J.K. Rowling, but the script itself was written by someone else.
Okay.
So it kind of read like, I mean, it was definitely fan service, and it read that way. And I think the play script format made it even worse. Like if she had written it as a novel with her embellishments and her style of writing, it still would have been fan service,
right?
But it wouldn't have come across like fan fiction.
Like my worry, not my worry. The reason I haven't really gotten to it is because I feel like it's a money grab.
Yeah.
Like she only let this happen because, I mean, she obviously doesn't need the money, and everybody's read recently that she's the only billionaire who is no longer a billionaire because she gave so much money
right.
away to charity.
Right.
This is not a knock against JK. She's obviously
right.
a very good person. But it feels like someone was leaning on her to, like, can we get more out of this?
And, like, from what I've read about how she felt about doing this, like, she was excited to tell this story in this format.
Okay.
But I think the story suffered greatly from the format.
Interesting.
Like I think reading through this story and these characters that I love that still have, like, these characteristics that I love... I just didn't love them as much this time around, and I think a lot of it was because her writing wasn't in it.
Okay.
It's her storytelling, like, she is behind the story itself, but the writing was just, and there is no writing, it's a play script.
Right.
You know, and it's all dialogue, and it was just, like, it suffered so much, and the whole time, I just desperately wanted it to be a novel.
I wonder if someday she'll adapt it as a novel or let someone else do it.
I don't know. I mean,
you know, the novelization of the play script of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
She has always said, like, very clearly that she's done writing books for this series, like novels. And for the most part, she has stuck to that. Like, the other stuff that has come out is like secondary to the Harry Potter world.
Right.
You know, like she did like Fantastic Beasts and stuff like that, and this is a play script technically,
and
so, like,
Pottermore.
Right.
And, yeah.
And like so she's still writing about it, but she's not, she is sticking to that thing of like, I'm done writing books for this.
Okay.
Which I, you know, I mean, that's always likely to change. But
like, I mean, I guess my question becomes, was your expectation of it that it was going to be something more than what it was? Because I've always felt like, as soon as it was announced that it was going to be a play script, I'm thinking to myself, you know, people who line up at midnight to get the new Harry Potter book the day that it comes out are going to be sorely disappointed.
Like,
to, like, where were your expectations versus...
I don't know. Like, I knew rationally it's a play script and, you know, it's not the new Harry Potter novel. Like, I knew that going in. They were very clear about it. It's not like it was misleading.
Right.
But I was so excited to read a continuation of this story and read about Harry's kids and see these characters in adulthood and see what's happened. That I don't know, I kind of hoped that, like, maybe the story could overcome the format, and it didn't.
It didn't, okay.
I think the format was so distracting to me.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I mean, it was good, and it was interesting. I mean, it had its, you know, its little things that you disagree with, but...
Yeah, but that's true of any...
I mean, you know, it wasn't perfect, and it was like, I don't know. And there's so many high expectations, you know, these characters that you love so much, and then sometimes they... In new writing, they do stuff, and you're like, I don't think she would have done that.
Right.
You know, and it's like, that's not really any of my business. I'm not the writer.
Right.
I don't own Hermione.
Right.
But,
sounds like me with Game of Thrones.
Right. Well, you know, like, so, you know, there's like, I don't think I'm upset that so-and-so turned out this way. Or, you know, like, I'm, like, you disagree with how she had some of the characters turn out. But none of that was, like... as bad as the format.
Okay.
The whole time I was like, God, I wish that J.K. Rowling could describe this scene.
Okay, interesting, yeah.
I don't know.
Have the reviews come in for the play yet? Like, what are people saying that have seen it in London?
I mean, I haven't really read too much about that, but I have seen that people seem to really like it. And I will say, like, if the production can stand up to some of the stage direction, which is bonkers, like, this play must have cost them so much money. There's stuff going on, like, to when you think about trying to convey magic
right
on a stage play, like,
but it's, I mean, you know, not to be that guy again, but like, it's not like they don't have the money, you know.
No, I
you're
mean,
investing
I get
the
it.
Money in this play because
I get it,
it's
but like,
Harry fucking Potter.
I don't know, like, I hope it's good. I tend to be like unimpressed by stages, like by theater.
All right. Fair enough.
Especially stuff like this, it ends up being like kind of hokey.
So, did you pick anything else? I mean, not to, you know,
I actually
derail.
Have a bunch of books. I'm like 20 pages away from finishing The Elementals by Michael McDowell, which is that book I was reading about like the super hot weather in Alabama.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's like it's a haunted house story, and it's taken me a really long time because this book is like 220 pages long,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like in the last 40 pages. Stuff has just started to happen.
Yeah, I hate that.
There's a lot of buildup, and the buildup was kind of necessary, but oh boy.
How much, and you've got like 20 pages left?
Yeah.
Hate that.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Revival, one of the more recent Stephen King novels that was not long by Stephen King standards, but like it's sort of told in backstory.
Okay.
Like the narrator is telling you this history of this man that he knew, this preacher, and like he you know, like in that Stephen King way, he peppers in a lot of foreshadowing and a lot of, you know, and then I only later did I knew what he meant by that.
Yeah.
And then like the payoff, it's probably a 600 page book. I may be over remembering it, but like the payoff, the like when the supernatural veil is pulled back and you see the monster in the closet, it lasts for about 4 pages.
Yeah.
And it's and it was like very like, oh
yeah,
he's trying to do Lovecraft again.
Okay.
It wasn't a bad book, but it was certainly in the to me the lower echelon of the Stephen King universe.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know, this book's like, it's fine,
okay.
But it's just, and sometimes like stuff is going on and it's like exciting stuff, but the way that he writes about it is so dry.
All right.
That it's like, I don't know, is this scary? Maybe.
Okay.
If I really think about it.
But you'll finish it.
Yeah, I'll definitely finish it. And then I have a bunch of books Like I went to the bookstore and I bought a couple books, and we went to a bookstore in Frederick, Maryland, and I bought a couple books there, and I can't remember the names of any of them, but
I'm excited
to read them all.
We'll get to it.
So, you know, 3 weeks and I only read 2 books. How about you?
Well, it's been 3 weeks and I actually have also only read 2 books, in fairness.
Joshing it up.
Yeah, right? in fairness to myself, one of the books was The Wise Man's Fear by Patrick Rothfuss,
right,
which is the second book of the Kingslayer Chronicles, and it's 1,100 pages.
Oh, okay.
Of pretty dense fantasy.
Right.
And is possibly one of the best things I've ever read.
Really?
I mean, it's still fresh in my mind. So, you know, ask me again in a couple of years if I say that.
Okay.
But, my God, this series. It's a trilogy. He's only written 2 of them, and he gets this all the time. But, God damn it, Rothfuss, finish the fucking series, because I have to know where this goes.
Okay.
And I only just finished it last week. It's been 6 years since this book came out.
Now, is it, like, good for fantasy, or just, like, good in general?
I think it's good in general, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's very rich.
Because fantasy can be hard to, like, be accessible for...
I don't really go in for, like, hard fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, like, fairies and magic and, you know, wizards and shit.
Right.
Like, it's, like, I like my fantasy to be a little bit grounded in reality.
Yeah.
This one has fairies and wizards and magic, and it's still, his writing style is so elegant, and the way the story is told, I mean, I've talked about it before, it's the story of a hero who is in his, like, not elderly, he's in his 40s, and he's no longer the great warrior magician that he once was, and he's living incognito for reasons we still haven't found out in 2 books into it. And he runs an inn, and I'm not telling you anything you won't learn in, like, the first 100 pages of the first book, but a storyteller finds him,
mm-hmm,
and, like, stumbles onto who he is, and Quoth, the main character, decides that he's going to let the storyteller write down the story of his life, of how he came to be to this inn, and each novel it's going to take 3 days to tell the story, and each novel of the trilogy is 1 day of the storytelling.
Okay.
So, like, the books open with, and then it's morning in the inn, and he starts telling the story, and then there's, like, these breaks in the narrative,
right,
where you go back to the inn as he's telling the story, like, chronologically. But it's just so rich and so detailed, and, like, it's a world-building experiment like few I've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
It really is so moving and so captivating, and I really want to know where he's going with the third book, because I feel like there's a lot to resolve. And each of the first 2 books is over 1,000 pages. Like,
right.
I don't know how he's going to get there with another 1,000. I feel like it's going to have to be a lot longer, which might be part of the issue with him finishing.
Okay, yeah.
So I finished that, and then I went to start reading. I started reading William Gibson's The Peripheral.
Okay.
And William Gibson is, you know, the sort of the godfather of the cyberpunk genre. He wrote Neuromancer in the 1970s, which was like the precursor to Snow Crash and, you know, Ready Player One and a lot of other, you know, a lot of those other, like, cyberpunk.
Thanks a lot, William Gibson.
Exactly. And it's good, but I am not getting into it because I think Rothfuss is that I've talked about this before. I prefer an author who can say in a paragraph what some authors can say in a sentence.
Yeah.
Like, give me more, make
right.
it rich, make it
right.
detailed. Gibson is a minimalist.
And coming off of Rothfuss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not... Gibson was done no favors by me.
Yeah.
Backing up right against this book.
Those flavors don't mix.
Like, I feel like I really kind of want to give up on it, but I'm not going to. It's a weird... Like, it's a story of, like, the sort of near future where the American economy is shit and everybody's depressed and the only money...
Near future.
Yeah, right, exactly. But then there's, like, there's also, like, the distant future, and then they sort of find this way to talk to each other between the near future and the distant future, and everything is bleak, and there's like it's weird. I can't describe too much of it without giving a lot of it away. But it's like it's a thing that a lot of minimalist sci-fi authors do, where like the first 100 pages is full of jargon and kind of like descriptions of the world using non-words that exist in this future that aren't explained until later in the book.
God.
Like, it's taken for granted that you know what all this stuff is.
Which is, like, sometimes an interesting tool to, like, immerse you, but also sometimes just totally backfires and makes you feel like you are not immersed.
That's exactly
See
it.
See you later.
And I feel like I'm not immersed.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get immersed because some of the backstory has been explained, but, and again, it's sort of my own fault for reading, you know, going to Stark sci-fi after Lush fantasy.
Yeah.
But hey, man, that's what I do. Josh, what are you reading?
Oh, it's still Devil in the White City. Got it. Cool.
Got it. All right. Cool. All right. This is the longest first segment we've ever done, and there's only two of us.
Woohoo!
So we're going to go ahead and take a little break. And when we come back, we've got something to talk about, believe it or not. Sean. Josh isn't here, but don't worry, guys. We brought along a special guest star this week because it's been a while since we've had anybody guest on the show, but he's here today.
So excited.
And it was hard to get him on, but he's here. And why don't you say hi to the folks?
Hiya!
That's right, folks. It's Diamond David Lee Roth here on Cracking the Spine.
Hiya!
How do you feel to be here, Dave?
Woo!
All right. Cool, cooking with gas now. Can't do a podcast without three people, apparently. Zane, what are we talking about this week? Dave.
Tobago Barrow.
Dave, hold up. I didn't ask you.
We are talking about a topic submitted, 2 months ago on our Reddit, on our subreddit.
All right. Better late than never.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, I cannot not laugh at David Lee Roth. And it was submitted by Sumi Bitch.
Oh, yeah.
And Sumi Bitch said, how do you feel about reading books in a series that's still ongoing? Does it just piss you off that you can't binge it all at once, or do you enjoy the cliffhangers and get into the excited waiting? Is it better to follow a series in real time as each book comes out, or to wait and read them all in a row when it's done?
Speaking of what we were just talking about in the last segment,
yeah,
I mean, I'm in the middle of three fantasy series that are not finished.
Right.
You know, like everyone else in the world, Game of Thrones.
Right.
And the Kingskiller Chronicles, which I was just talking about, mm-hmm. the Patrick Rothfuss series, and The Gentlemen Bastards by Scott Lynch.
Right, right.
The Lies of Locke Lamora, and so on. But I've also, you know, I've talked at length before about my love of The Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I probably should have done some research on this as to whether or not – I don't know how far apart Tolkien published the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Like,
well, I mean, I don't know. I'm going off the top of my head, which is probably a mistake. But the Lord of the Rings trilogy is essentially one book, three parts.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, I could be completely wrong, but I think it was
published
as
all at
such.
Once and then broken up into three books.
Yes.
I think you might be right about that, actually. So I mean, yeah, it's a catch 22. Like I wish that I had waited until Rothfuss finished all three of the books to start them.
Right.
But I didn't.
Right.
And you know, I think the question was, you know, do you get pissed? And pissed isn't the right word for it. I'm not angry with Patrick Rothfuss that he hasn't finished it, but
no.
I get impatient.
Yeah.
Like, It's been 6 years, dude. Now, this is coming from someone who has never, you know, written anything more than a book report.
Come on, dude. Write that 1,000-page book.
Exactly.
Hurry up.
Tying up the characters that you created that you love so much and give them an ending that works for all of us. All right, Dave.
There's no way his mouth made that noise.
All right. You know... It's different, like Patrick Rothfuss as compared to Scott Lynch or George R.R. Martin, because Scott Lynch is writing a 7-book series for The Gentlemen Bastards. And I'm, as we talked about on this show before, not getting any younger.
Right.
And like it's been a bunch of years since the last one came out, and the next one that comes out is only going to be the 4th book.
And I imagine Scott Lynch isn't getting any younger either.
Exactly. And George R.R. Martin is...
Everyone is actually really concerned.
Right. Now, he at least, we know, has left notes for people on how the book should finish.
Oh, God!
Don't worry, Dave. You're going to get to hear it. But, like and the difference, you know, I think the Game of Thrones thing is a thing unto itself, because the show has already gotten past where the books were. And has changed some stuff from where the books were.
Right.
So I think I kind of, like, there's a part of me that's like the conspiracy theorist who's like, he did that on purpose because he's going to go sell more books again because everybody's going to go back and reread the books to remember, where it departed, when it was different.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff that happened in the last season, and I'm sorry if you haven't seen it, but I'm not going to worry about spoilers. not for you either, Dave. Like, the battle, like, Ramsay, I can't think of his name, the Bolton bastard.
Ramsay.
It is Ramsay, okay. Yeah. What was his father's name? Roose.
Yeah.
Right. Ramsay Bolton is still alive and well in the books.
Okay.
Like, and flourishing.
Right.
And it's unknown whether or not, God damn it, Reek and Sansa survive jumping off the wall.
Right.
Like, it's not... Like, all the stuff that the show's gone way further with is different in the books. And I'm not here to do that thing where I bitch about the difference between the books.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. What I'm here to say is, as a reader, I forget what I've read and what I've seen and how they differ.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So...
It's not at all the same, but that kind of happened to me a little bit when I was reading... Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, because there's stuff, you know, it's been a while since I've gone back and read all of the books.
Right.
But the movies are on freaking TV all the time. Like, you're always watching the movies, and they change some stuff, and that's fine with me, but that's kind of how I think of the stories now.
It's
the movies.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of little tidbits. I honestly can't even remember what they were. It was small details in the story, but stuff that they brought up where it was like, wait, did that happen?
Right.
It was like, oh yeah, it did happen, but it was in the books and it wasn't in the movies. And like, you just forget. Like, the movies just becomes your new...
It's the new reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
which
that's
awful.
It's weird. I don't know if it's awful. It's just, I think it's a weird way
it's weird that it can like rewrite my memory of like some of my favorite books of all time.
Well, most of us are visual learners. I mean, like the idea that like when a thing is, you know, ingested visually as opposed to just reading text, that becomes the memory.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, like, it's hard to say because I feel like I don't read a whole lot of other series that have been completed.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like, other than The Lord of the Rings. Oh, you know, so I actually got – it's funny. I got hit up on my personal Twitter from Nicholas Fernandez at El Burabre. I'm probably fucking that up horribly. But his name is Nicholas Fernandez. And he wrote me and said that he just it's funny, he said, I just finished The Wise Man's Fear, like me.
Right, yeah.
And I need something to read about till The Thorn of Emberlane is out. And The Thorn of Emberlane is the 4th book of the Scott Lynch series. And actually, I replied to him and was like, dude, welcome to my nightmare. Like, this is exactly where I was a week ago. So I said to him, you should probably try reading The Baroque Cycle by Neal Stephenson, which is Quicksilver, The Confusion in the System of the World. And like, to his credit, like... 12 hours after I sent that to him, he wrote me back and was like, 100 pages into the Baroque Cycle, I'm drowned in exposition and name drops. Really interesting writing, but definitely not my cup of tea.
Okay.
And I get that. Yeah. Because Neal Stephenson is a, there's a barrier to getting to him.
And even when you like some, I love Neal Stephenson, and sometimes I pick up a Neal Stephenson and I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah, and the Baroque Cycle is one of his more dense, like Neal Stephensonian kind kind of reads. And I said that, I was like, dude, I totally get it. So I wrote back and said, you should pick up Rogues, which is a short story collection edited by R.R. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote back and said, great minds think alike. I just picked up Rogues.
Oh, cool.
But like that, you know, in terms of series that are already finished, you know, I did the Baroque Cycle, but I did that as it was coming out. Like, I was doing it like serially.
Yeah.
And was loving the serial aspect of it.
Right.
It was like, because he announced when the books were announced that he was doing one a year.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the other authors who are like, I'll get there when I get there.
Yeah. See, I feel like I don't, I mean, sometimes it's frustrating to pick up a series and realize that you have to wait for more. But I feel like it's, it ends up being like, it is what it is. Like, it's not going to stop me from picking up a series. Like, if I go like, well, there's only two books out of that 7-book series. Like, I'm not going to not read them and wait. Like, it's kind of something that if it happens, then that's the way that it happens. I mean, it's so exciting when you pick up the first book in a series and you don't even realize that it's a series. And you finish it and you're like, oh my God, I really want to read more.
And they're like, guess
Maybe
what?
I should go back and read it. And then it's like, oh, what, there's 3 more books?
Right.
Like, that's the best feeling in the world. It's amazing to binge a book like that. But I don't know. There's something about waiting too. It has to be worth it. That's kind of how I feel. Is like it's just this horrible impatience of like, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait years.
Well, how did you feel about Harry Potter? Because I know like you got into that pretty early. I mean, maybe not in the first book, but like after the first 2 were out, you got into it.
Oh no! I mean, I remember. I didn't like stand in line for the first book or anything, but I do remember putting myself on the waiting list at the library to read the first book. And being, like, really, really excited when they called us. And I think I was, like, 11 at the time.
Me too.
And it was – so, I mean, I've been excited about the books pretty much since their debut. I don't know. Like, I don't remember ever being frustrated about waiting for them.
Okay.
Although I think the last book came out when I was in high school, so I it might just not have even occurred to me to like
get worked up about
it. Oh, I need another one now. You know, it's because I was younger. Maybe if they were coming out now. But it, like the excitement of a new book coming out, and especially by the time you got to like the 4th book, she was releasing these huge tomes.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, it would take you days to read, and it was so dense, and you could go back and reread it and see stuff that you hadn't seen before, and I mean, I don't remember being anything except really excited about it.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, it's not up to me. It's kind of like, you know, you start a series and it's not finished. It's like, well, now I'm just in it.
Yep. You either have to wait or give up.
Sitting around waiting, you know, and it's just that horrible impatience. And then for me, it's like, you know, okay, well, I'll sit around and wait for 6 years. What if the next book sucks?
Right.
What if I don't like it? What if it wasn't worth the wait?
What if they kill off my favorite character?
Yeah,
what
like
if,
you start to dread it in a way, which is kind of, it's its own thing. It's like wonderful and terrible all the same.
And I have to say, like, part of the reason I never really got as into Harry Potter as a lot of other people or as into it as I got into other books, I think, I don't know if, I can't remember if it was her or if it was the publisher, but when the first book came out, there was this announcement made that the series was going to tell the story of Harry Potter and his 7 years at Hogwarts. And each book was going to be a year at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening as I read the books was, I think I've talked about this before on the show, the peril that Harry faced and the dangers that he ran up against, I always knew were never going to be big enough to ultimately cataclysmically affect his life, because it had been promised from before the release of book 1 that he would spend 7 years,
which isn't true.
What's that?
He doesn't spend 7 years at school.
No, but there's 7 books and he's the main character of all of them.
Yes, but it's
so if you're reading book 4,
the 7th book doesn't chronicle a year at school.
But if you're reading book 4, you're not like when he's, you know, drowning Because
I don't know. Maybe it's because I read them when I was young.
Right.
But, like, it's more indicative of the fact that they are ultimately, no matter how much people like them, it's young adult
fiction. It's children's literature,
so,
yeah.
So, like, it was never upsetting to me. You know, it was never like, oh, no, they're not really in danger. Like, that was never really that upsetting. And certainly the stakes did get higher as time went on in the books. And, you know, by, like, the third book, we've started killing people off.
Right. But, like, tertiary characters. Like, nobody...
Yes and no. I mean, when Sirius died, it was, like, a big deal.
Yeah, but I feel like he came up... I feel like he was created to die. And I feel like it's pretty much...
when I was,
telegraphed, like, across.
14, it didn't seem that way.
Okay, all right.
You know, it was like, Sirius is here. He's gonna fix everything. Harry has a dad. And then he died.
No, it's not good, Dave. All right?
I mean, Dumbledore died. He was pretty serious. Hedwig died. She was pretty serious.
Yeah, but like...
One of the Weasley twins died. That was pretty serious. Lupin died.
None of them...
And Tonks.
I never got it. I never understood Tonks. Never got into it.
Tonks is pretty obnoxious from the get-go.
It was like...
I'll admit that Tonks is like...
Like, I'm not going to come out and say, like, I was waiting for Tonks to die, but, like, it was sort of like...
I thought Tonks was going to die. I didn't think they were both going to die.
It was a lot of, like, Ensign Red Shirt from Star Trek. Like, if Josh was here, he'd be into that. But it's like, you know...
I know what it is.
Let's send down an away team of Harry and Hermione and Ron and Tonks. Yeah, Tonks is going to die. Like...
No, I know, but I don't know. Like, it was never... That kind of stuff was never frustrating. Like, and it was kind of... It was nice, especially for the first few books, like the pattern of the books.
Right.
You know, it was like very reassuring. And it's such a young adult book kind of thing to do, where like the book opens the same way.
Oh, yeah, it's all very formulaic.
You introduce the characters in the same way. And it was very reassuring to be like, okay, we're back at Hogwarts.
Right.
You know, and it was like, yay. And then stuff would get serious. Mm-hmm. But like, I only ever remember being excited about it. I don't know. But, like, I mean, I was younger. I was young when I read them.
And you're much older than that now.
Yeah.
Dave, how do you handle your series, like, when the books aren't out yet?
Waiting it out!
That's not a bad idea. I mean,
what else are you going to do?
Nothing, really.
Yeah, wait in the bookstore.
So what stories are you into, Dave?
I'll tell you all about it.
Well, go ahead. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
No.
Oh, all right. Fair enough.
Man, that guy has opinions about things.
He sure does. I'm not even sure how we got him here. All right. A little too much enthusiasm for this show.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've hit it.
Okay.
I mean, we could keep going, but...
Thanks so much, Sumi Bitch.
Way to go, Sumi Bitch. And thanks for being here, David Lee Roth. I know you have other things you need to do, so if there's anything you want to drop on the people before you leave...
God damn it, baby, you know I ain't lying to you. I'm only going to tell you one time.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a brief break. We'll be right back. Welcome on back to segment 3 of episode 75 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
75. We didn't make it a 75 joke. That's...
Oh, yeah.
75 episodes.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd do the show for this long.
Really?
Yeah, not that I was like thinking like, oh, I've had enough of this show, but like I just didn't think people would be...
Sean doesn't believe in us.
I don't believe in me.
Okay. Josh.
Okay. Facebook.
Twitter.
email. And definitely on all those things. We have been gone for a while, and I've been really bad at, you know, keeping you guys updated with social media. And, like, I haven't been on the Reddit in, like, 2 months, and I'm sorry to the Redditors. I know you have. Because you were
good.
Talking about it. Yes, I'm not.
I did a good thing.
Yeah, okay, Zane. Keep talking about you.
Okay.
What about you, Dave?
I got no love.
Yeah, me neither, buddy. But I love Cracking the Spine, and I love our listeners. And, you know, send in your show suggestions.
We are still looking at them.
Even if Sumi Bitch thought 2 months ago, oh, they're not going to take my show suggestion. Well, guess what? We took it.
Oh!
That's right.
We do archive all the show suggestions, and even if we don't use it right away, there is always a chance that we will, like, 6 months in the future look at it and be like, yeah, let's talk about that today.
That's the good one to talk about.
Yeah. All right, David Lee Roth. Jeez.
Well, listen, he's got a thing, man. He's got a, you know, we paid the money to have him on the show, and we got to make sure he, you know, does his part.
Oh, God, I'm running. Oh, yeah.
That's right, Dave. So anyway, you know, Twitter, we're at Cracking...
At Cracking Spine.
At Cracking Spine.
Jeez, oh my God, you are Josh tonight.
It's been forever. It's been a long time.
Cracking the Spine, cracking the spine show at gmail.com.
I knew that one. Facebook, we're just, you know, just search Cracking the Spine.
Yeah, we're not a chiropractor.
We're not a chiropractor. So anyway, yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking out there, even though we haven't really been as consistent as we once
Hooray,
were.
We're kind of back.
Hopefully we're going to get a little bit more of a routine going.
Hooray!
Can't promise weekly, but can certainly promise more content.
Yeah.
As we work our way toward 100. And,
more content, less David Lee Roth.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, God! No!
Yeah, he's not into that, Zane. He wants to be here. Don't you want to be here, Dave?
Yeah!
You gotta come in a little bit faster, Dave. Come on.
Yeah! All right, cool. So, thanks for listening, and, we'll talk more next week.
Please don't stop listening to us.
Check them out. Books. Check them out. At your library.